Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today is Friday. That means it's time to go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket imports domestics microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Ooh, good. Pickle bar second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. LeBron James. Brian Windhorst did a story about the disrespect he's been showing to David Blatt all season long and in the playoffs. I'm sorry, that's just not how it's supposed to work. I don't respect that at all. If the organization doesn't think David Blatt's a good coach, fire him. If LeBron James has an issue with him, go to the general manager and say, here are the issues we have. And David Griffin has to make a decision. But don't disrespect him, and don't act like you know more than you do. I don't buy into this. I don't want to hear how, you know, it's a star players league and the whole thing. Well, guess what? You're still a player. There's still a structure. There's still a hierarchy. You think Bill Russell disrespected Red Auerbach? You think Larry Bird disrespected Casey Jones? Magic with Pat Riley? Now, you'll hear stories about how certain guys have been fired because of the star players. Okay, yeah, I understand. I've heard that. But why doesn't that happen in baseball? Why doesn't that happen in hockey? Why doesn't that happen in the NFL? The last time you heard of a player disrespecting somebody in the NFL, and you know, and this is the way, these are the plays that they got to run. No. Don't think so. I don't have a lot of respect for that. With that, we bring in Rob Cooper, the head baseball coach of the Nittany Lions. I'm going to talk a little bit more about just baseball. Coop, great to have you here.
Good to see you. Are you offering your cleaning services?
No, I'm busy. I've got to do this show, another
Understood.
Show, and I've got a game tonight. So I mean,
can't do everything.
Love to help you.
Right. Doesn't the field look great?
Field looks
oh,
really great.
Oh, my goodness.
A little bit of rain. Well, a little bit. We've had a lot of rain here. It's really made a big difference. I was talking on the show, it may have been earlier in this week, and I was saying I really would hate to have a profession where I had to rely on the decisions of 17 and 18-year-olds to make sure that I was keeping my business humming. This is where you live. This is your wheelhouse. How tough is that? And was I accurate in the statement from someone who lives it, or are there holes in the statement?
No, you know what? I happened to be in the car listening to that when you talked about it.
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah. And so, I mean, first of all, you were dead on. That's a challenge, and you know, you are dealing with young kids. But the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that it's actually getting earlier and earlier. And what I mean by that is you know, we're recruiting kids that are sophomores in high school right now. And, you know, some kids are making commitments to places that early. You know, my oldest son, Tyson, he's 14 right now. Okay. And he'll be a freshman next year. Well, technically, I'm supposed to start recruiting him next year. Well, right. Steve, I had to ask him to pick up his shoes five times this morning from the same spot. I mean, and so when I was listening to it, you were hitting it and you were right on, and it's a challenge. But now you're asking these kids, you're at the age of 16, 15, to make a life decision.
Right.
And so it's not even so much just your livelihood is influenced by 18, 19-year-olds, it's actually younger than that.
Right.
Because, you know, if you don't start recruiting them that young, you're going to miss out on guys. And it's not something I love right now about our recruiting process, but it's the way it's going.
So it's a necessity.
It's actually younger than what you were talking about in some ways too. When they get on campus, then it's 18, 19 year old kids and 20 year olds, but it's actually younger. It starts younger.
And Steve Kerr, who just went through a great run. So obviously everybody's listening. Although he's been somebody people have listened to for a long time. I've always felt there's certain areas. I did an entire show last year and some comments that he made about student athletes last year that were really very perceptive. And he said, look, coaching today, now this was his percentage. He says was 90% creating the environment to succeed and 10% strategy. And I kind of felt maybe it was like 75-25 in today's modern game. That's just me as an observer, not obviously, but coaching. What is it to you? How much of it is creating the environment versus, okay, we're going to hit and run here?
You know, once you get the athletes and kind of the talent in place, and then I think it's either 75 or above of
okay.
It is about environment. I mean, it's about creating a culture and an environment of excellence and what's expected. And to me, usually that is in the choices you make, the choice to play hard, the choice to really work in the weight room, the choice to play hard in a game, the choice to do the extra things to be a great teammate, to be coachable. As I was waiting to come on, I was listening to you talk about the great players, when you talk about those guys being coached. The truth is the great players, the superstars, want to be coached.
Yes.
You know? And so...
It is a great misnomer that they don't need coaching. To me, it's one of the great fallacies of the business I'm in. To think that, that person doesn't need to be coached.
Sure.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And so once that culture is at a certain spot and when guys are saying that's not how we do it, this is how we do it, this is what's expected, and that's the constant theme, then you can spend that other 25 to 10% on teaching them the skills and strategy. But – I mean, if you can't get your guys, if the environment isn't the right in the right spot, then you can be the best person when it comes to strategy and when to hit and run and when to do this and when to do that, but your guys aren't going to be able to execute it because their mindset's not right.
The next part of this is you would love to have your best player be your leader. And this is, again, another mistake that I think people in my business make, that the assumption is the best player is the leader. Not everybody is a natural leader. You may be the best player, but not everybody's the natural leader. That's why you always hear he leads by example. All right. What does it mean to a culture you're creating when your best player is also your leader?
It is an absolute game changer. I look back on some of the best leaders I've had, on some of the best teams I've had, and when it's come from your best player, when you see the guy out there that's your best player, in whether he's a draft guy or whatever, and he's the one that's setting the tone for how things are done and how hard you play and how to act and how to carry yourself and how to be coachable, it's really hard if you're somebody else on that team and you're sitting there going, well, he's the best player on this team and he's doing it. I better follow suit. So it's an absolute game changer. It really is. And what you find from those guys is they end up coaching your team, and because they've got the respect of the players. Not that you don't as a coach, but it ends up becoming their team.
Well, yeah, but if they're respecting you as a coach,
exactly.
It then permeates to everybody else that's the direction they need. If they're listening to you as the best player, the other players who are the followers will then follow his lead.
Absolutely. And when you have somebody who can do that, it empowers the rest of the team as well, because they realize that they really are the ones in control of how well they do, how well the team does. You know, my job is to help them and put them in positions to succeed and to motivate them and to kick them in the butt when they need it and pat them on the back. But when one of the most liberating, free things and that you can do as a player is realize that you really are the one that controls the destiny.
Sure. And I've been around, and it's very, very few, but I've been around maybe a couple quarterbacks, okay? A couple quarterbacks that were not natural leaders and didn't really want to lead. It really wasn't their thing. And that's the other assumption. Well, he's the quarterback. He's got to be the leader. Well, idealistically, yes, you want him to be your leader. Now, Christian Hackenberg's a leader, so this is not even anything about him. And we all saw what Matt McGloin was like and so forth, Darrell Clark. But there have been a couple guys over the last 30 years where you're aching to have him lead, and it's not in their DNA. How tough is that now when it's somebody that you as the coach would really love to see the, you know, like, you got to lead me here. You got to help me. And they it's not in their DNA to do it.
Well, you said it just a little while ago about it. You know, I really feel like the people that announce that they like to lead by example,
yeah,
that's a very safe way of saying I'm just going to worry about myself.
Yeah.
And the frustrating thing is that, you know, in today's society, growing up in youth sports and it being so controlled and so, you know, this is, you know, if my son's not happy on this team or I should say I'm not happy with my son on that team, then I'm going to move him. You don't really, you're not learning leadership. You know, I look at, there's a, you know, Yogi Berra, in his biography, he talks about when they were kids and they'd go out and play and you never had parents out there, you know, like, you settled it. Like, you know, it was like, yeah, when you used to go pick up basketball, that's a foul. No, it's not. Well, you didn't have to have a parent run in and mediate it. You figured it out as kids, and you learned who handled things right and who developed how to deal with other people. And so it's getting tougher and tougher. And I say this a lot to people, Steve, that those guys that play hard and are great leaders and are great players, they stick out like sore thumbs now, and that's sad because it used to be the other way around. The guys that didn't stuck out like sore thumbs.
Right, and Yogi Berra, of course, grew up with Joe Garagiola up in the hill in St. Louis.
Yeah,
and that's where that. But that's the environment. And look, I have the athletic ability of that towel right there.
You and me both.
Okay, it's just the way it is. Right. I mean, and I loved playing. But what we did when I was kids, it was, we played organized basketball, but that was just a side thing, and we played Little League and that was fun, but everything with us was pick up football, pick up basketball, pick up hockey, that's all we did all the time. It was like, okay, the season's changed, we're going to play basketball tonight, season's changed, we're going to play baseball. It was all pickup stuff. We didn't have any adults around. We'd throw the bat, catch it, go up, boom, you know. And oh, by the way, it didn't matter if you were the last player picked.
Yep. you still played.
Yep. It didn't matter. And I think that we've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from, you know, and part of it's the safety thing too. I mean, let's face it. I mean, but you know, I'd take off, and they didn't know where I was for like 7 or 8 hours, and Mom seemed content. So did Dad.
this time of year, you know, I'd wake up and basically about 8 o'clock until about 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
you know, and we didn't have phones to check in.
No, there were no phones to check in. We, you know, I come back on my bike. We had a good time. We had a great, and there was no phone to check in. I mean, this has become, you know, toss this thing sometimes. Yeah. But this ballpark, I was talking, one of those waxing poetic moments, about 20 years ago. This isn't here.
Tailgating.
This was the parking area for the club seats when they were trying to sell the club seats in the stadium. This is why this area was so important, because they coupled it in. The parking was coupled into park. But then the curve started, and then this place was built. Actually, the ground had already been broken 10 years ago for it at this particular time. They were starting to build it 10 years ago. Now you got the 10th year of the franchise. You have a sports environment around here in a town this size that has a 107,000 seat stadium, a 15,000 seat arena, and a 6,000 seat ballpark in an area that has a rush minute.
right.
You know, you've moved your family here. I mean, obviously you did it for business reasons, but you've moved your family here. I mean, what's it like for you as somebody who did not grow up here to see all of this here coupled with an area this size.
You know, Steve, it's funny. You said I did it for business reasons. And you know, don't get me wrong, if I wasn't a college baseball coach, I wouldn't be here. But I would tell you that we did it also more for family reasons, for selfish Cooper family reasons. I mean, if you took away everything about, you know, the athletic facilities here, this is an unbelievable community to live in. But then you start putting that, you know, those things on there. I mean, you got an 11-year-old son and a 14-year-old son, and they grow up around, you know, like tonight, my youngest son, my older son's got to practice, but my younger son's like, I'm going to the game, right? Like, I'm going to the Spikes game. And then, you know, they've already got the football season mapped out. And,
sure.
And you know, Coach Chambers, all they talk about is the recruiters that he's bringing in. And
right. And
then, like, probably their favorite is to go to Pagula, you know?
Right.
But my point in saying that is
– And my apologies, by the way. When I was talking about this earlier, I did not mention Pagula, and I should have, so I'm sorry.
No, but my point is that, you know, it's such a great you know, people talk a lot about, and I'm one of them, you know, the time we miss with our families as coaches, and there are a lot of them. You know, both my boys have hit balls out of ballparks before in games, home runs,
sure.
And I haven't been there for the times they have. But when they can be in the dugout during a game, or I'm able to take them over, and, you know, Coach Franklin's been nice to invite me and them over to watch practice, or, you know,
sure.
I mean, those are things that, I mean, nobody else, other people don't get to do. And so it is. It's an up. So for selfish reasons, for family reasons, we couldn't ask for a better place to live. It's why we're building a house,
right.
You know. But it is funny that you talked about this place and how it got built and where then this used to be tailgating, because I always tell a story about the first time I met Coach Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited about, you know, him being hired. I kind of followed his career from afar, and when I heard that he was going to be our next football coach, I was like, unbelievable, home run hire. We got the best guy out there.
Right.
So I finally get a chance to meet him, and I walk up to him. I was like, hey, Coach Franklin, I'm Rob Cooper. I'm the baseball coach. I'm just really, really glad you're here and excited you're here. And he just kind of stares at me. And he's like, yeah, I know who you are. And I was like, okay, what did I do wrong? He goes, you're the guy with the stadium right in the middle of my tailgating spot. So he got me good on that one.
Yeah. Well, but and this was.
Yeah, I know.
Believe me, I know more of the story than
that. Might be one for XM Radio.
When it was built, when it was going to be built, Joe thought it was going to be built further down the road. In what we call down there the hollow.
Right.
They didn't build it in the
hollow.
This has worked out just fine.
Yep.
But no, it's you sit in here and sometimes you don't realize you're in State College. Especially up here in this view.
Well, I mean, when I'm in my office and those windows are clean, like, up to your standards. when I tell you, it's funny because I'll go around to shops around here and I see people, you know, pictures that you can buy of Mount Nittany, and I just, it makes me laugh that I can turn around and look at that all the time and see this beautiful field. And, you know, Matt Neary and his crew do an unbelievable job. So it's going to be a great night. I hope everybody gets out here tonight, support these guys, and they're celebrating a championship tonight too. So it'll be a great night.
Rob Cooper, head baseball coach at Penn State, talked a lot of issues there, some which hit home. I mean, some Little League teams even have morale coaches.
They're very successful at that, too.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All three deals are neck and neck as they come down to the finish line. And they're all tied at 19-9-15. Looks like at SMC, everyone's a winner.
It's the Sunbury Motors Ford Triple Crown of Savings. Choose from either a new 2015 Ford Escape or the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. Or a 2015 Ford Focus equipped with heated leather seats and a power moonroof for an amazing price of $19,915. You heard right. A new 2015 Ford Escape, a 2015 Ford Fusion, or top-of-the-line Ford Focus for just $19,915. Sunbury Motors has over 250 new Ford
rewards available with savings up to 10 grand and interest rates as low as 0% for up to 72 months.
View the entire inventory online at sunburymotors.com.
The Triple Crown Sale won't last long, so hurry in to Sunbury Motors. Satisfying more customers and selling more cars for over a century. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Now that's a golf song. Kenny Loggins. Now that's a golf song.
Feel better.
I think the audience does.
Low hanging fruit. We're talking strawberry level.
Excuse me. You're the guy when I was talking about serious stuff the other day says, I can't believe the Steelers are wearing Bumblebee uniforms.
Yeah, you I got invented, a problem with it. I'm serious you, about that.
You invented low-hanging fruit on this show.
I'm still annoyed by that.
You are the low-hanging fruit on the show. Come on. Can you believe the helmets they're wearing? I'm over there talking about leadership and moving forward on stuff. And you're over there talking about, I can't believe the face mask isn't gray.
Blah, 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 leadership, blah, 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 be a good player. Uniforms stink, okay?
I don't care what they're wearing. I want to know how much they're scoring.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
No one does that pause before the word app better than my man Lawrence. Way to go, Mark. I got a good laugh out of that. Okay. Friday brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We make the transition from spring to summer officially this weekend. Stock up. It's going to be a big weekend. Enjoy. Kick back. Relax. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drink, snacks. The peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. Bags are right there at the register. I know when last time I was there, I picked them up. Pickle bar? Yep, I stopped there, and I stocked up at the pickle bar before I left as well. It's best. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So the guy that wants to talk about uniforms, cleats.
I don't think I say anything about cleats.
All the irrelevant things in sports accuses me of discussing low-hanging fruit when I said Kenny Loggins from Caddyshack should be the golf theme. Come on.
Easy pickings there.
Look at your record on this show. I can't believe they're wearing the Bumblebee uniforms. Absolutely irrelevant to the game.
I have to look at it. I have to sit there for 2 hours looking at uniforms and wondering what prison they just escaped from.
Well, if you think they're all from prison, that's not the team I want to root for.
No, that's the one in Baltimore, but that's a different story.
And again, the low-hanging fruit.
All right, that was low-hanging fruit. All right, that was low-hanging fruit.
Okay. You always take the role of the fan in this.
I'm not going to argue. That was low-hanging fruit. All right.
Okay, but you do this all the time. One time I want to hear Kenny Loggins. That's low-hanging fruit. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you have standards? Well, all right, let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome. It's always great to hear you.
Always good to be on Friday afternoons.
Tony, I want to start out with a specific player. Johnny Rodriguez is now the manager here of the State College Spikes. His son, Sean, plays for the Pirates. He signed as a free agent in December. What has he meant to the club?
Well, I think he's a perfect National League player, to be honest with you. He was, you know, playing for Tampa Bay for a while, and I think a guy with his versatility is maybe, I don't want to say wasted, but maybe you can't take full advantage of what Sean Rodriguez offers. He offers an understanding of how to play just about every position on the diamond. I mean, he can play six positions relatively well, to be honest with you. Really seven, I guess, because he can play all three outfield spots. He's athletic. And I think, you know, again, he's a guy who has been through quite a bit. He's a major league veteran and the kind of a guy you love to have coming off the bench because no situation's too big. And by that, you know, I mean, here's a guy who's going to play against a lot of the best lefties in the league. You know, a lot of people will talk about how, well, you need to sit Gregory Polanco down when he's facing a great lefty, or you need to sit Pedro Alvarez down when there's a great lefty on the mound. Well, you know, those guys are starters. So, you know, when you think that way, all of a sudden now you're bringing a bench player in to face one of the best pitchers in the league. It's a kind of an unfair position to be in, but he has no problem with those at-bats. He doesn't hit 270, he doesn't hit 300, but he can hit a solid 250. He has power off the bench. And like I said, no position, he doesn't hurt you at any position. And in fact, he's a pretty good first baseman and he's a very athletic outfielder. So he just offers Clint Hurdle a ton of options. And again, he's that great National League player who can come in and really help you when you're making a 2-for-1 switch because he is so versatile.
21 of their last 26. What's the buzz like in the city about the club?
There's two things. First of all, this is as well as they've played during the last 3 years. There's no question about that. They've not had a run like this where they're just, the pitching is just absolutely dominant. And, you know, when the pitching has a bad night, they're giving up two runs. People are startled when they give up a run in an inning. And, you know, the bats have come around. The hitting has been clutch. A lot of two out base hits. But I think most of the talk has been, how do you go 21-6? And only pick up 3.5 games on the team in front of you, because the Cardinals have been like 17-8 or something like that over their past 25. So they finally pick up a couple of games. I think people are kind of rejoicing to see the Cardinals lose because it just hasn't happened. But you know, there's no question that any panic or complaints that we heard in August, those are pretty much dried up.
In
April. Sorry about that.
In April, sure. But when you look back on all of this, you see. The pitching has just been off the charts. Let's get to the guy that was always in danger of being out of the rotation, and that was obviously Jeff Locke. Why has Jeff Locke been able to, quote, lock in and be the solid fifth starter they hoped for?
You know, I think the biggest thing for Locke has always been his control. When he's throwing strikes, you know, he can be a solid fifth starter, which is really what he is. He's not really going to be much more than that. He might give you a real good game here or there. But if he's not locating the ball, if he's missing the plate and getting behind in counts, he can be awful. And we saw that with the bloated ERA he had the first 6 weeks of the season. I think another thing, Steve, that has helped Jeff Locke is the four guys in that rotation in front of him have just been dynamite, and that takes a lot of pressure off of Locke. You know, as a fifth starter, he doesn't need to do much. You know, get through the rotation twice, keep the team in the game, and every fifth day, you know, we can put a little bit more weight on the bullpen. We can, you know, you certainly have the bullpen arms available when your other pitchers are going 7, 8, 9 innings. And so I think that has strengthened Locke just by the fact that it's taken some pressure off of him. I don't think you hear him talk about it that way, but there's no question there's a lot less pressure on Locke when, you know, again, the other four guys are pitching dynamite, and that's what they have been. Charlie Morton, since he rejoined the rotation, quite frankly, has been as good as the other guys, and that's more than they had hoped for.
Yeah, exactly. And Morton has stayed away from the big inning. In the bullpen, is there a pleasant surprise to you in the bullpen? There's some known entities. Tony Watson's a known entity. But of the other guys, who are the pleasant surprises to you?
So I think Arcadius Caminero has been maybe the biggest surprise. The Pirates always seem to find one of those guys. You know, he's a fireballer. He had some brief cups of coffee with the Marlins, but he didn't have enough control. He doesn't have a lot of movement on his pitches, but you can find a place for a guy like that when you have other solid bullpen pieces. So he's kind of been the piece that they found this year that kind of has surprised people. And that's been a good thing because John Holtzcombe, who was kind of their big discovery last year, is still in AAA, and he has struggled with his control quite a bit. That's what sort of kept him out of baseball for a while there, and he's sort of fallen back into that trap. And I think the Pirates were kind of counting on John Holmstrom to be a part of this pen. So when Caminero has come up and done such a quality steady job, that's certainly helped. Another thing that has helped has been Antonio Bastardo has finally got his feet on the ground. He's had, I think his ERA is now down under 4.5. If I think about 2.5 his last 10 or 11 outings, and he's actually been a good pitcher the past month. He was an awful pitcher, you know, the first month and a half of the season, but he's gotten his feet under the, you know, his feet on the ground. He's been good, and that's given them another left-handed option that they don't have to be afraid to use. And all of those things, quietly, somehow, Mark Melancon has 21 consecutive saves. His velocity's picked up about 2 or 3 miles an hour from early in the year. And every outing early in the year, Steve, people were asking Clint Hurdle if there was an injury with Melancon. And they kept telling us, no, he'll pitch himself into shape. And that seems to be what has happened. Now, 21 consecutive saves means you're due for one. At some point, he's going to
yes,
get hit.
Yes, it does.
But, yeah, he's been very, very good here as of late.
I know we're about to start the minor league season here in State College. That's why I'm at Medler Field at Lebrano Park today, and obviously they're now a Cardinals affiliate. But when you look at the Pirate minor league system, which before you look at it and say, okay, well, is there anybody down there? Obviously things have stabilized with the parent club so much that there isn't as much reliance on that. But are there a couple of guys that at least bear watching at Indianapolis to you right now that at some point, if need be, somebody gets banged up, somebody has to miss a turn, whatever, that you think could be of help to the club?
There's only three names, you know, that I'll give you. One is a longtime major league veteran who's in his first year with the Pirates trying to make a comeback, and that's Clayton Richard. Lefty had a couple of seasons of 14 wins with the Padres in the past, dealt with some odd, unique injuries to the front of his chest cavity with some ligaments and some issues there, kind of a very weird injury that he dealt with, kept him out of baseball for most of last year. He's been pitching really well, left-hander, and he was the guy, if Locke faltered, that you probably would see up in that rotation. And I think if someone does go down in that rotation, you're going to see Clayton Richard come up right away. I think he's ready. His ERA is just above 2 now in AAA. He's starting to go deep into games. Another guy's a name familiar with the Pirates, and that's Tony Sanchez, who's been kind of the third catcher for quite some time and has always performed well in Pittsburgh, but he can't hit at AAA. He's in the 220s at AAA. He comes up and hits 280 with the Major League club, but he's a guy who fits in, and if they need another bat, even if it's not a catcher, he can come up and help. And the youngest guy I'll mention is Alan Hansen, middle infielder, playing a lot of second base right now, probably the top prospect at AAA.
Yeah, in fact, well, Hansen and Tony Sanchez we're both familiar with here. They played here in State College in the initial stages of their career before moving up and through. And I know a lot of, I liked them then, and I felt, I know a lot of people in Altoona really liked Hansen a lot when he was there with the AA club. Very quickly, with the Steelers, and people always want to know anything going on with the Steelers. So what if anything's going on with the Steelers? how general is that?
Which I guess right now is a good thing. I mean, the only thing that can happen bad at this point usually is injuries and no one's, torn anything in any of those non-contact drills that they're going through. They wrap up minicamp this week. A couple of small, things of note. Marcus Wheaton has moved into the slot, and he's going to be the slot receiver this year, which may say that the team maybe has a little bit of faith in Sammy Coates, at least what they've seen so far. But the best moment of minicamp was yesterday when Mike Tomlin was asked, have any rookies impressed you during these non-contact drills? And Tomlin's answer was very short and sweet, no. That was it. No one has impressed him. And, again, Mike Tomlin's not a guy to talk a whole lot about what happens when the shorts are on. But soon enough, next time they're on the field, actually, those shorts will be off, and they'll have the pads and the helmets on, and they'll be going full contact. So maybe then somebody can impress the head coach.
That's great. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Tony. Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend. Thanks.
All right, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Dave in Sunbury has been waiting for a while. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Hi, Kevin. Three things. First of all, is that Tiger Woods, is that because, on the golf course for all those years eventually, or with his caddy that he's always changing his strokes and stuff?
Oh, I think constantly changing his swing. I think, you know, I think there's got to be one groove that you get into. And I think once you get into that groove with it, I think, you know, you can slide out of it, even through repetition. You can still slide out of it, and you just need to be brought back to it. He goes through radical changes, and that's the part I don't quite get.
All right. Changing subjects, what's going to come of the LSU with those four guys?
Well, it's going to depend. The incident that there are two separate incidents.
Yeah, I know.
The one the quarterback is involved in, Jennings.
Yeah.
Evidently, he was robbed.
Oh, okay.
And he took matters into his own hands. Because.
Okay.
And when they found out that, quote, his stuff was there, he and somebody else went over to try and get it back.
Oh.
Well, you're not supposed to do that. That's
no,
why they have the police.
Yeah, that's what the authorities are for.
Yeah.
Okay. And for you and Kevin, have a happy Father's Day over the weekend.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that.
You know.
Just remember, Dave, Kevin's the morale coach.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll introduce him to my son.
I am the morale coach.
Well, did you know why, Kevin?
Why is that?
He lives in Danville.
Well, then he's not that far away.
Yeah.
Well, happy Father's Day to you, Dave.
I was going to say, have a great Father's Day yourself.
Okay, yeah, he's like 6'4", 285 pounds. He's a little fella.
Wow. Well, happy Father's Day, Dave. We will take a break. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
All three deals are neck and neck as they come down to the finish line. And they're all tied at 19-9-15. Looks like at SMC, everyone's a winner.
It's the Sunbury Motors Ford Triple Crown of Savings. Choose from either a new 2015 Ford Escape or the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. Or a 2015 Ford Focus equipped with heated leather seats and a power moonroof for an amazing price of $19,915. You heard right. A new 2015 Ford Escape, a 2015 Ford Fusion, or top-of-the-line Ford Focus for just $19,915. Sunbury Motors has over 250 new Fords available with savings up to $10,000 and interest rates as low as 0% for up to 72 months.
View the entire inventory online at sunburymotors.com.
The Triple Crown sale won't last long, so hurry in to Sunbury Motors. Satisfying more customers and selling more cars for over a century. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Some guys make all the putts. Some guys hit all the grains. Some guys are never in the sand. Some guys are never in the trays.
The Drew Kelly theme song. All right. Some guys have it all, Kev.
Yeah, I can't say I've been lucky enough there.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best beer selection anywhere. And, of course, soft drinks and snacks, the peanuts roasted fresh hot every day, bags right there at the register, and the pickle bar is second to none. Great selection. Really, great place. Stop by and stock up for the weekend now. It's the transition into summer. We're only 15 days away from the 4th of July. We're only 17 days away from Kevin going on another vacation. And
you know what? We are just hours away from your summer officially getting underway.
Yes, I've got baseball starting tonight. Yeah, I'll be at Williamsport tomorrow night.
I was going to say, it's Williamsport tonight at at State College, and then they reverse it tomorrow night for the home opener up at historic Bowman Field.
Both 7:05 starts, so hopefully I'll see as many of you out there as possible at Susquehanna Bank Park, historic Bowman Field, tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that very much. Gabe and his group do a great job, and hopefully that game will be sold out. I know that the tickets were hopping here today. They had a great advance sale to begin with, but, you know, I mean, a lot of minor league baseball is really now based on a walk-up crowd, and they've done a good job with it. I mean, the attendance increased here last year, which was great. Minor league baseball is doing very well. You go back 30 years ago, and minor league baseball was in dark, dingy ballparks, and now they're sparkling brand-new ballparks, wide array of food options, and it's become a real social mecca. People just like going in, the price to get into the game, not that bad. You know, so people have fun with it.
And you might even be watching players now, especially at Williamsport, who actually could become contributors at the major league level.
By September.
I was going to say by the end of this year. Darn it, my punchline.
By September. Well, actually, I think Ruben Amaro's kid's on the team.
Really?
Yes, really.
It's not going to save his job. Ruben Amaro, that is.
Oh, listen, you're just cruel.
Gone.
I mean, do you wake up every day just consumed? You've got to let some stuff go, man.
Listen, his run is course, all right? He's not going to be financially strapped if he loses this job. But it's time to move on, find another gig at another team, bring somebody new in, let's hit the reset button.
Wow.
I don't want the guy on the unemployment line. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's time to move on. It's time for him to get a fresh start with another team, and it's time for the Phillies to have a fresh start with a new GM.
So you just want to fire them all.
Well, no, I'm sure there's a GM out there that's sitting down going, all right, it's time for me to get back into things again. Or maybe there's somebody that's looking for a change of scenery. Maybe he could work out a trade for himself.
Maybe they could.
I know, it sounds cold to you, but I'm sorry. That's the fan in me. I don't look at things as a job. I mean, when you get into this job, you know that there's a pretty good chance you're not going to retire from that team.
Well, you don't have to heckle him. He's not Ruben Amaro's kid. Okay.
No, I wouldn't. Now, that I wouldn't do. That's too low even for me.
Come on.
That's low even for me. I mean, my standards are not that high, okay, but they're better than that. Okay. I would not heckle him based on his dad's situation.
He's a nephew.
No, I wouldn't do. I would not do that.
Oh, this would not be below you.
Now, if Ruben Amaro were there at the game, then maybe I would heckle Ruben.
I mean, none of these things are below you, all right?
I mean, maybe I'd heckle Ruben out of that, and you know, but not the nephew. That's wrong. I mean, maybe something like, hey, Ruben, are you going to trade him next? For nobody. I hear Hunter Pence might be available.
You would heckle the kid. I know you would.
I would not heckle the kid.
You just would. Come on. This is a fan in you. Come on. You admit you're a fan. You do it.
I would not heckle the kid. If his uncle were there, I would heckle the uncle.
Look, you have no standards, okay?
I do. They're just really, really low, and you have trouble seeing them sometimes. But they're
most
there.
Most Nobel Peace Prize winners would not be able to find their standards.
Go do your baseball game.
Time to have fun.